This netcast is brought to you by the 8 Days of Geek Network.
Only your ears are belong to us.
Error Code 8 is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/8DAG. On this episode of Error Code 8, Microsoft Surface gets a price tag, Best Buy has a tablet of their own, and PayPal tries to limit your rights. Stay tuned.
Warning, Error Code 8 in progress. Warning, Error Code 8 in progress.
System error.
Error code 8 commencing.
And welcome back, everyone, to another fun-filled episode of Error Code 8. I'm your host, Jesse Miller, and joining me, as always, the techno-Gaelic, Sam Briggs.
Hello and welcome back.
Hey, we got a pretty good amount of news this week. A few things have been happening. And believe it or not, we have enough to leave out rumors, lawsuits, and scuttlebutt. Yay! I'm excited about that. I hate talking about lawsuits. Matter of fact, for those of you who read the blog as well as listen to the podcast, we will be having, hopefully, very soon, a new writer coming on who's actually just out of law school. So I'm going to have someone very specific to write about those lawsuits that I hate.
Good.
Yeah. Anyway,
we can just point to his articles.
Exactly. Here, go here, read this. That's all you need to know. Someone is suing someone, and nothing's ever going to come of it. Pretty much the tech world. So, first thing on our docket, Microsoft Surface. Remember, we were talking about that. It's basically the Windows 8 tablet. Well, the Surface, you know, they told us all this great stuff about it, but they didn't tell us a price tag. So, it was really kind of best guess. They have officially revealed the price tag for the Surface RT. That's the ARM-based version of the Surface tablet, the one that runs kind of a, you know, kind of optimized for tablet version of Windows 8, not the full-on version that's going to have an Intel processor. So the Surface RT comes in two flavors. That's the 32GB and the 64, and they're going to be $500 and $700 respectively. So, it's on par with the iPad. You know, I mean, you get a little bit more storage, but, they are entering the tablet market at the same price as the iPad, regardless of storage. Fighting that kind of a brand name is going to be a little bit tough.
Exactly. And what's more is they're going to have to try to pitch this as a computer, or as a tablet that is a computer. It does everything a computer does. That's what they're going to try to convince people of, which is going to be so difficult because in the average person's mind, a tablet is not a computer.
True.
It's used so differently.
You know, even the iPad is not a computer. I mean, in the strictest sense of terms, the things I do on the iPad aren't anywhere near the things I do on a computer. The iPad, in a pinch, can replace my computer, but yeah, I wouldn't go to it for my only machine.
Yeah, not even. I mean, one day, perhaps, we'll see that blend, but definitely not now. It is still, we are still used to sitting down with a laptop, desktop, something. I mean, at that price, Microsoft is choosing to fight an uphill battle for no reason.
Very true. And the one of the things that was so great about the Surface when they originally announced it was the touch cover, the touch keyboards. You know, they had several different types. They had the touch one, and then they had the real keyboard. The 32GB one will not come with that. However, you can buy it along with it for $600 total. So that basically puts the touch keyboard at $100. The 64GB will come with a touch cover, and that's the one that's $700.
Jeez. That is a very ridiculous... I don't understand.
Yeah. So the Surface releases sometime around October 26th, around midnight. That's supposed to be their big hoo-ha. That's also Windows 8 when it actually gets released. So, you know.
So these aren't even the Intel ones. Yeah. These are the restricted ARM.
I'll go in, I'll play with them at a store, but I don't think it's something I'd be interested in buying.
I'd have to be blown away by it.
Yeah, I hate to say it, but it just doesn't. I mean, for the price, a good Android tablet would be just as well, you know? And with the Android tablet, I can have a microSD slot and a host USB port and all this different stuff. And add a keyboard on and a wireless Bluetooth mouse, you know?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, I mean, you know Best Buy and the other places are going to have bundles, so there will be, you know, good sale opportunities for this, but still with that price, I mean, they would have to show that it can do more than the Nexus 7, and I don't think they can.
Yeah, and see, I think that if they would have priced these somewhere in the area of, like, for instance, for the 32, pricing it at, say, $400, and then selling the keyboard separate, or with it for another $100. You know, or even sell the keyboard for $120 separate and $100 with it. That would make, you know, that would at least put it to where people who just wanted the tablet would look at it and say, oh, this tablet's 32 gigabytes for $400, while this iPad is $600 for 32 gigabytes.
Right. They can do a value comparison.
Exactly. With this, you can get the iPad, the one that everyone has, the one that all your friends and relatives have for $500, or you can get the Surface for $500. Because people who are just starting to get into tablets, I hate to say this, but the majority of them don't truly comprehend storage.
No.
You know, I mean...
Most people have lived so long with a minimum of 120 to 200 gigabyte hard drive on their desktops, laptops, everything, and most people have up into the terabytes. I don't think most people realize how quickly and storage can go, and for other people, how little of it they actually use.
Well, another problem you run into is people who don't differentiate the storage on their phone from the storage on a tablet.
Right.
You know, if someone who has a phone with 16 or 32 gigabytes built in, who never runs out of storage, they've only used like a quarter of it, they think, oh, I'll never use all of this. But what they don't understand is that tablet apps are bigger. They just are, by definition. They have more, you know, more GIFs, they've got more bitmaps, they've got all this stuff, all these pictures, all these graphics, all this information that takes up more space.
Well, and not only just in regards to some of those, most tablet apps are more, I don't want to use the word advanced, but more in-depth in what they can do because of the greater power of a tablet.
Very true. So, interesting, but I don't know. It's, meh.
Wait for what the other companies do.
Yeah, this pricing just kind of puts a bad taste in my mouth.
Agreed.
All right, we've got some other tablet news. Maybe. Yeah, you know, Apple is pretty cryptic on their messages. Apple sent out invites for an event that they're going to be having. And the front of the invite is basically the top of an apple with all kinds of colors going across it. And it says, we've got a little more to show you. Now, obviously, you've got everyone reading into it, trying to figure out exactly, what is this little more? What do they mean? Is it a play in words? Is it an anagram? Is it a, you know, onomatopoeia? What is it? So, it's, you know, they're like basically running NSA encryption on the wording just to find out what they could possibly mean. It's October 23rd is the event. Wait and find out.
Right. Well, so I think they're being wrapped up too much by the words, because that is obviously a picture of a UFO.
Wow, I didn't even notice that. Landing some dude's butt.
Exactly. Dear God, they've created a tiny, tiny little space sphincter vehicle.
Oh, man, space sphincters. Glug, glug. And on that note, a drink.
Yeah, indeed.
Mm.
Oh, that's, anyway. So that's what it looks like.
That's kind of true. It really does. Anyway, so rumors have it that we're looking at a refresh of several product lines because Apple normally does not do an event for a single solitary product. They'll always say, oh, well, this, blah, 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 and then one more thing, and then they say the rest. So, obviously, people are clinging to this for the iPad Mini rumors. We'll go into that in a second. And then also they're saying we might see a refresh to the Mac Mini lineup and also maybe a smaller MacBook Pro with a Retina display. That would be kind of cool. It'd be cool to see a refresh to the Mac Mini lineup because then the Mac Minis that are out right now will go down in price and I can buy one as a media center PC.
Yeah, actually, I really expect it to kind of be a Mac show because they generally do that with the changes they've just made, they normally try to make everything else line up. Yeah. So I would expect that you're generally going to be focusing on the Macs.
Very true. And if they do an iPad Mini, Scuttlebutt and Rumors has us to believe it'll be somewhere around 7.8 inches, give or take. And, you know, they're looking at the $250 to $300 price range. They don't know if it'll have a Retina display or not, blah, 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 blah. Here's my thoughts on the whole thing. While 7-inch tablets are cool, and they're nifty little gadgets that people, for some reason, seem to want, I don't understand the draw of them. Aside from the price. That is literally the only thing I can think of, is that the price is just low enough that people are willing to settle for a 7-inch screen.
That is most of it, but there is, I've read some articles, of enterprise companies preferring that size.
Really?
Yes.
I don't understand that.
Because they aren't big enough to be an entertainment device, a comfortable, like, to watch movies on. They're not quite comfortable enough for that, but they're way better for productivity apps, spec sheets, things like that, than a cell phone.
Hmm.
So you get a product that is generally good enough for strictly productivity, you know, being a productive device.
Yeah.
And you kind of force the person, if they want to use it for entertainment, yeah, they're getting a lower quality. If you want a 10-inch tablet, buy one yourself. Hmm. And enterprise enjoys that size.
Yeah, I guess you get a point. Rim catered to enterprise, and we see where they're at.
Well, they gained 2 million subscribers.
Whoopity-doo.
I know. I think Rim is going to be one of those companies that just never dies. Unlike so many other tech companies, they're just going to keep chugging along because corporate America doesn't know how to update.
Like IBM?
Exactly. Rim will never go away.
You never hear about IBM anymore, but they're still around.
Yep.
So we'll keep you updated. Our next episode, as a matter of fact, might, depending on scheduling, might be a little late. I'm not positive. It depends on what we're able to throw together in time. I believe October 3rd, if I'm not mistaken, is a Wednesday. Or 23rd, I mean. Sorry.
Yes.
Is it?
Tuesday. 23rd is a week from now.
It is a Tuesday.
It is a Tuesday. Hey. So we'll probably have this on here.
Yeah, we might be on time. Congratulations. Indeed. Goody, goody.
Just those things. I do not want Apple to release a device of this size. I don't want them to.
Well,
that means they are literally caving to customer desires instead of leading markets.
That's a big thing. Also, it breaks Steve Jobs, one of his number one rules of keep your product base small.
Exactly.
And they're going to get themselves in the exact same problem they had when Jobs left the first time and ended up having like a billion different products that were horrible instead of having a core set of products that were fantastic.
And cannibalizing themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't want to make... All right, you've already got iPad 2 and the new iPad. now you're going to have the new mini iPad and then the two. And you're just going to be – there's so many choices just in the iPod to iPad lineup. And then you've got the phones and then the two different size phones. It's something that I don't think they need to differentiate this much. They sold because they were simple, and whether you were 16 years old or 60 years old, you weren't overwhelmed with the choices.
Yeah, it's... I don't want them to make it simply because, you know, like I said, it's going back to an old Apple, and that it's... I just don't think it's very becoming of them.
Indeed. It's... Oh, at the same time, sell. Sell your stocks now. The night of the event, you'll see it spike. Sell.
Disclaimer. 8 Days Geek does not provide legitimate financial advice. I don't want to get sued.
No. No, definitely don't listen to me. I'm poor. For a reason.
Yeah, that's true. I've been playing a stock buying game on my iPad.
Yeah.
I'm not really making that much money. I'm in on the tech news pretty heavily, so I do get some inside tracks, and I have made a little bit money on the tech stock, but then I went into energy ventures, and I lost so much cash. It was insane. I dropped like 10,000 places in the world within like hours.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was insane. So anyway, this next story is actually very interesting to me. Best Buy. Their number one brand, like their personal brand, is Insignia. Isn't that how you say it? Yes, Insignia. So the one thing that everyone is coming up with now is an Android tablet. Insignia has all kinds of TVs and little bitty devices and all kinds of stuff to go with your computer and monitors and nifty little doodads. One thing they didn't have, an Android tablet. Well, they've decided to remedy that, and Best Buy is going to be coming out with its own cheap Android tablet. We don't have a lot of information on what it's going to look like. However, you know, I can kind of enjoy this. I mean, we do have like one picture of the outside, and I'm not 100% on the side accents that I'm looking at here. But the entire front of the thing looks like it's pretty much just flat. Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. Doesn't have any stupid buttons or a huge bezel or any of that stuff. So that's kind of nice.
That side bezeling, the accents and such, looks like their TVs.
Does it?
Yep.
Well, there you go. Insignia branding. So it's going to be a 9.7-inch tablet. Okay. I'll talk about the price in just a second. It's going to be 9.7 inches screen size, 10-hour battery life, and it'll have a dual-core 1 gigahertz processor. They're looking at a pricing between $239 to $259. This sounds pretty nice.
Yeah.
For that amount of money, I mean, all the tablets you find in that price range, they are all pretty much 7-inch tablets. Or they're complete and utter crap. Which, hey, who knows? This could be complete and utter crap. We don't know. But the spec sheet sounds pretty convincing. Now, my first thing that I think of is, whenever this comes out, it's going to be coming out with ice cream sandwich on it. And it's an Insignia brand, so who knows when it's going to get Jelly Bean. However, since it is an off-brand, it doesn't have, you know, since it's low price, a lot of people will get their hands on it. A lot of ROMers will get their hands on this. And because of that, I give it 2 weeks until it has Cyanogen Mod 10 running on it and gets Jelly Bean.
Indeed. Yeah, it's at that price point, I mean, you saw how fast like the Nexus 7 sold, and that was $100 more.
Yeah.
And you saw what actually really Best Buy probably saw how quickly the touchpads, which are similarly spec'd, When HP killed them, and they were selling for $200 and $250, they flew off the shelves. Well, people were lining up outside the doors.
See, and that's the thing. That is the magic price point. $250.
If it really is.
If a tablet is $250, everybody wants it. Mm-hmm. You know, I understand that these things cost a lot of money to make, but they could probably go down in price and be okay.
Well, and what's more is more companies need to take that risk, though it's really hard to convince investors to go along with that risk. If you're willing to do what Microsoft did with the Xbox, anytime a company wants to enter into a market they aren't in already, if they are willing to take a loss to be super competitive, you will win in the long run. Yeah. I mean, that's why Microsoft is where they're at now, is because they played the Xbox so aggressively against their competitors.
Very true. Very true.
So, you know, if companies are willing to do that, like Best Buy, I would not be surprised if this starts a line of hardware from Best Buy simply because of how well it sells at that price point.
All good points.
That'd be weird, though.
Yeah, that kind of would be. But, hey, we can dream.
Right, exactly.
All right. Right now, I'm going to take a quick little break to talk about our sponsor, Audible.com. Audible's a great place to get all your audiobooks, pretty much the premier place to go and get your audiobooks on the internet. They have over 100,000 titles, and just a lot of them are just fantastic stuff. Audiobooks are basically like someone telling you a story. It's absolutely gorgeous. I love it. So I've been an Audible member for a while, and whenever they joined up to be one of our sponsors, they gave us a special deal that we could hand out to whoever we wanted to. And we're going to hand it out to you guys, because we like you oh so much. So the deal is, if you go to www.audibletrial.com/8DAG, you can go ahead and get basically, it's a trial membership. So for one full month, you can try out Audible completely and utterly free. So in that 1 month, those 30 days, when you sign up, you not only get access to Audible's entire store at 25% off, which is the basic member deal, but you also get one credit. With that one credit, you can go in and buy any book in the Audible store that's one credit in price. Now, if you decide to continue monthly at the Gold member, which is what you're signing up for, you'll get one credit a month automatically. But this credit is completely free. 100%. There's no reason not to. You can go in, get a free audiobook, try it out for 30 days, and if you decide that you don't want to keep it, you can go in, cancel your subscription, and keep the audiobook that you downloaded completely for free. 100% on us as our gift to you for trying Audible. I couldn't come up with a incredibly relevant book for today because I've been reading that Red Shirts book that we talked about last episode. Mm-hmm. I'm right at the end. Let me tell you, the dialogue is really hard to get through, but it is such an awesome story. Such an awesome story. The book I have for you guys today is another one I've listened to. It's called Drama, An Actor's Education. It's by John Lithgow, and if you've ever, you've obviously seen things with John Lithgow in it. But because of that, it's also narrated by John Lithgow, and you know how great he is to listen to. So just listening about, you know, everything about his life and personal history being told by him is fantastic. One of my weak spots in Audible is actors and famous people's autobiographies read by themselves. Even if I don't necessarily like the actor, I get caught up in it. Like, I just recently read Rob Lowe's autobiography, Stories I Only Tell My Friends. I'm not a huge fan of Rob Lowe, but his autobiography was really good. Because it was read by him. Yeah, who knows? So you can go into Audible, like it says, www.audibletrial.com/8DAG, and get a free credit for 30 free days and give it a shot. Get a free audiobook. There's no real reason not to sign up and give it a try. You know, if nothing else, you're spending 5 minutes of your time to download a free audiobook. So, all right, next story. Ding, ding, ding. This one, really science-y. I was surprised I even decided to put it in here. Usually you're the one who comes up with science-y stories.
I know, and I'm surprised. I didn't even hear or see this.
Oh, gosh, I got one up on Sam.
I know, I'm actually, I've fallen, well.
Count okay.
After, I'm also completely and totally disconnected from the world right now.
Oh, you mean your WebOS device doesn't work?
No.
Well, my Android device is still going strong.
Are you just waiting until you fry your cellular radios? Just wait, which is effectively what happened.
I never own a phone that long. I'm lucky if I fill out my full 2-year contract with a phone, to be honest. Anyway, so this next story is basically astronomers have found if I remember correctly, it's actually a group of astronomers called Planet Hunters. I'm not sure. I know they found the Planet Hunters themselves found a planet, which is kind of cool. I read that story as well, and I kind of dawdled between which story to put in here. This one is an Earth-sized planet found near Alpha Centauri. For those of you who are into astronomy, you know that Alpha Centauri A and B are the closest stars to our own solar system. So this planet is Earth-sized, and it's only about 4.3 light-years away. Hop, skip, and a jump over the pond, you know. However, while it is Earth-sized, it is not Earth-like, which is why in the show notes you'll see I put Earth-ish. It's only 4 million miles away from its star, from its sun, basically. We're somewhere around 93 million miles away. So,
yeah, big difference.
Little warm, just a smidge. It completes one orbit around its sun, which would be considered an Earth a year, in about 3.2 days, which
wow.
Means you'd have a crap ton of New Year's resolutions.
You would get old really, really quick.
Yeah, could you imagine a birthday every 3.2 days?
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of presents, though.
Yeah. That's true. And you've got a 1 in 3 chance, roughly, of being born on New Year's.
That's a really good point. A lot of New Year's babies.
Yep.
Now, also, I'm thinking I'm going to take this plot. I'm looking at the picture. Right on the sun line. Right there. And I'm going to take it. It's probably going to be right next to George Clooney's place. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to be right in between George Clooney and Jack Nicholson. You betcha.
So everyone just be a pile of ashes.
Yeah, well, you know.
So there'd actually be plenty of room.
By the time we make it there, Jack Nicholson and George Clooney would both probably be just a pile of ashes.
Oh, just dust.
Naturally. I'm sorry, I made an old person joke about two TV stars actually like. Anyway, I feel bad now. So, interesting, very science-y. But very, very interesting. It was actually found. This is the part I think is just amazing. The planet itself was not found because, you know, as a planet. What was found is that Alpha Centauri B was actually moving. Okay, it was wobbling basically on its axis from the movement of the planet around it. Okay, now. While that sounds like, oh, well, of course the star was wobbling, of course there's a planet in third quadricept of the fourth iota, and no, the fact of the matter is, the star was wobbling 51 centimeters per second. That's insane that we can actually measure that from 4.3 light years away.
That is absolutely shocking. And what's more is that they could then extrapolate from that there's a planet.
Yeah.
And then where to look.
God, I love space. I just do. I don't know why. I've always been fascinated. Anyway, next tech-relevant story. PayPal. Sam, do you use PayPal at all?
I used to, and then they angered me.
Well, they're about to anger a whole lot more people. I use PayPal quite a bit, actually. I don't know why, but I do.
Because two alternatives off the top of your head.
Well, I think, for me, PayPal is a nice buffer between my bank account and the people online I'm paying. if I don't completely trust a source, I go through PayPal. And then I have some kind of recourse if something goes wrong. So I think that's probably why. But anyway, PayPal is going to be changing its user agreement. Just a smidge. I lie. Quite a bit. Basically, they're putting into the user agreement the one thing that I cannot stand a company putting into their user agreement. And that is, you cannot file class action lawsuits against us. You have to do it individually. AT&T did this, and it drove me up the wall. Of course, when PayPal does it, it's going to drive me up the wall all the same. As a matter of fact, it's going to drive me up the wall a little more because I actually use PayPal. Mm-hmm. So I don't think this should be legal, to be honest. I think no company should ever be allowed to ever do this. What do you think?
Well, like we've said before in regards to AT&T, this is...
They're douchebags?
There's no reason. There's no reason. Because at the end of the day, a class action lawsuit costs everyone, generally them, more in attorney fees than they're going to pay out. That's it. That's the only reason they're doing it. They're just wanting to save money on the lawyer fees that they have to pay, the court fees. That's it. Has nothing to do with any other thing. They are choosing to save themselves money over provide you a service. Simple as that.
Yeah.
If they would just not screw up, I mean, think about it. Why would you ever sue any of these companies?
Yeah.
Because they violated their terms of service with you. People sue when servers go down. People sue when payments don't go through because those companies said they would.
Well, the kicker is that, you know, it's not the fact that they sue, like, when all those little things happen. That was loud. It's not that they sue when all those little things happen. It's just, you know, I mean, I just don't think it's right that they can put this into their contracts at all. I mean, I just really don't. And I agree with you completely that, you know, just make your service a little bit better. You know, and I think by putting this into their user agreement, they're actually giving them an excuse, giving themselves an excuse not to live up to, you know, their full expectations.
Like AT&T.
Exactly. And just like you said, the only time someone can actually sue these companies, really, is when they violate their user agreement.
Correct.
So, just, you know, be better. I don't
exactly.
know.
Exactly. You know, it is one of those things that it's in good faith. Okay. If you are a company that runs servers, and a storm takes out the servers, and people lose data, or they don't have access, or anything else like that, you could do one of two things. You could say, ha-ha, you can't sue us! Or he's like, you know what? Here's a $10 credit to each of you that were affected. One of those doesn't piss people off. And it's generally the money.
Yeah.
Not saying, hey, you can't sue us.
And really, I mean, how much would it be, you know, how much would you save if you just paid people instead of them suing you? You know?
Oh, yeah. I hands down promise you, like, you know, in regards to, say, the iPhone bumper case issue or the antenna issue where they released bumper cases. You know, if Apple had just admitted the problem and just sent everybody those bumper cases, I bet they would have saved a lot of money in court fees.
Yep. So, basically, you know, there's usually no way out of these kind of things. However, there is a way out of this one. If you'd like to opt out, You have to basically write a letter or print it out. Yeah, an actual physical hard copy. And you have to mail it to the correct address by December 1st, 2012. That's December 1st of this year. The Consumerist has actually put together a Microsoft Word template giving you literally everything you need, 100%. You have to fill in a couple blanks with your email addresses, your name, your address, your phone number, that kind of stuff. Other than that, everything is already done for you. So copy and paste, save the PDF, save the Word file, print it out on your machine, replace what you have to replace. It's literally, like, what are stamps now? 40 cents? Something like that?
No idea. I've never mailed anything in my life.
I mail things, but I buy the forever stamps, and frankly, I've had them forever, so I never have to remember. However, you know, stamps are nothing. You know, just put a stamp on it, put it in an envelope. I know some people still have envelopes, and send it out. You know, you might as well, just to opt out, I'm going to. I've got the page up on my computer right now so that I can actually send this in. Now, like I said, it's a hassle to have to do it hard copy, but to be completely honest, it's well worth it. Show these companies that you are not going to allow them to take away your rights to compensation and litigation if they screw up. Hold them accountable for what they do. All right, next thing is kind of like a blurb. First of all, we wanted to say that the Sprint deal, where SoftBank was going to buy a 70% controlling interest in Sprint, has become official. SoftBank is indeed going to be buying that, barring
regulatory approval.
Yeah, the FCC, the FTC, all the
right
government acronyms getting their hands on it. I honestly don't think they're going to have a problem. It's the third largest cell phone carrier. AT&T is, of course, going to cry foul, you know, because they're going to be like, oh, well, you didn't let us buy T-Mobile. Well, you're the biggest carrier in the United States. Shut up.
Mm-hmm. So. What's more is, I mean, if AT&T is going to cry, by the way, Vodafone is the one that SoftBank bought and turned around.
Mm.
I looked it up last time because we couldn't find it.
Thank you.
If AT&T says anything about it, it's because they fear SoftBank.
Oh, yeah.
At that point in time, and because they turned Vodafone around dramatically.
Exactly. And SoftBank as a company, every time their CEO, like, he is the big thing. SoftBank is their CEO. Because I did some research on this guy, and every single time he makes a business decision, SoftBank stock plummets. They lose, like, I think the other day when they announced this officially, they lost something like 14 to 17% of their stock price. Every time he makes a decision like this, stock prices plummet. And as soon, like, a couple weeks or months later, people realize, oh, crap, this guy's got a plan. And they just shoot through the freaking roof.
Yeah.
So this guy is very maverick. He's very shoot from the hip and always hits his target. So I see really good things coming out of this for Sprint.
Oh yeah, definitely. I still worry on the consumer end.
Yeah, well, I always worry when a company is bought by a bigger company on the consumer end, because I think that hopefully, anyway, that he sees some of the value in Sprint is the fact that they're giving customers exactly what they want, whereas all the other networks are kind of giving them some of what they want and then screwing them over the rest of the way.
Exactly. At the same time, even if Sprint eventually turns into effectively Verizon or AT&T, the additional level of competition there will always be good.
And it will help lower prices.
Right.
Because you have three companies, if they all change their prices at the same time, I can tell you the government's probably going to be looking at some collusion charges.
Hopefully. Easily, yeah.
I think they should have already been looking at that already, but hey, who am I to say? I guarantee you there's backroom meetings for, hey, you lower your price and we'll lower our price. Okay, you offer tiered data. Hey, so will we.
Mm-hmm.
These things happen way too close together for it to be coincidence.
Right.
Anyway, so while we're talking about things maybe going up in price, who knows, let's talk about something you can get for free. And no, it's not an audiobook. Although you could get an audiobook for free if you wanted to. www.audibletrial.com/ATAT. Anyway, I've learned how to say that really fast, by the way.
Nice.
So, Dropbox is offering free space, and it's for their Great Space Race. Yeah, they did it. They actually went there. So, it lets college students win up to 25 gigabytes of free storage for up to 2 years. What it is, basically, is you go into the Dropbox site, and in the article that we linked to, there's a link to the specific page. You go in there, you have to have a .edu email address. Now, most universities and colleges, even when you leave the university and college, let you keep the email address for a certain amount of time. Go back and check if you've ever been to college, if you have one of those email addresses. the more people that sign up through this deal from your college, the more space you will be able to get. Okay, now, another thing is also you can have an existing Dropbox account and still register with this. And it will just flood the storage over into your existing Dropbox. So, you know, you might as well. Really, truly. I'm actually going to go do this pretty soon after we get done with this and see if anyone from my college has signed up. Losers, you better get over there. I want to get 25 free gigabytes. I'm just saying.
So. There's so much storage out there now. I don't even know what to do with all of it.
Yeah, but it's... I love it.
I wish this was around like 2 years ago before I lost everything on all of my hard drives.
Well, yeah.
Oh, this is a really good deal, but...
Yeah, it's free storage. I mean, you know.
And Dropbox, I mean, it comes pre-installed on pretty much every operating system, so...
Oh, really? My college has got crap. Although we are 43 points away from 8 gigabytes. I get 3 free gigabytes.
Nice.
Yeah, it'll do. It'll do.
Push, advertise more. Go to the college and just spam everywhere with it.
I'll put out flyers, man. Be like a real college guy. You know, I'll like... Well, I don't think college students actually talk like that. I haven't been in college for a while, but I don't think they do.
Yeah, I've never met anyone that did.
Yeah, I could just be stereotyping. Anyway. So, that's really all we have for you this week. You know, we had some pretty interesting stories, right? Right? Am I right? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Of course I am.
Super educational.
Oh, yeah. By the way, I'd like to point out the fact that we are on episode 39. So we're actually... did you correct a spelling error of mine? You did, didn't you?
What?
Oh, yeah, I see your... We use the Google Doc for the show notes, everyone, and I get to watch Sam's cursor go everywhere.
It's
start my, typing Morse code to me in the cursor.
My netbook is running about as well as my Palm Pre right now.
Ah, I see. All right, well, Sam, would you like to tell the people where they can find, follow, and stalk you, and stop going nuts all over the Google document?
I'm really not doing that. That's me trying to move my cursor at all. You can find me on about.me/Samuel Briggs. I may be missing for a while from any of those things that you find on there until I can fix my phone, which I just messed up the WebOS doctor. It froze at 52%, then crashed. And my netbook is on its way out. So, in general, I may be missing. But feel free to leave me messages. I would love to feel welcomed back. So...
Welcomed back?
Yeah, whenever I finally get a device back.
Oh, I see.
I want to be known that I missed.
Well, you know, I don't miss you that much, but...
Oh!
That's alright.
I broke it.
You broke it? What'd you break?
It's fixed.
No, I think it's still broken. Anyway... If you'd like to follow me, you can find me on Twitter. I'm at Pin of Doom. You can email me if you'd like. It's jesse@8daysageek.com. And if you'd like to find out more about me, you can go to about.me/Jesse Miller and find out all about me. Also, I'd like to plug my personal blog, which I'm starting to write on. And I promise you I'll write a little bit more as much as I possibly can. I'm a busy guy, you know, very important here. And that is www.pinofdoom.com. So it's the random ramblings of an internet gypsy. Just so you know. If you'd like to leave us a voicemail or send us a text message, the number is 754-273-6397. And if you're looking at the same Google document I am, don't. It'll make your brain bleed because Sam keeps switching things.
I fixed it.
And the number is 754-273-6397. All right, guys. Join us next week for more fantabulous fun. We should be talking about the iPad Mini, hopefully by then. Well, I say hopefully as in news, not because I actually want to see that bastard child of a cell phone on an iPad. But anyway.
Really, I mean, it's probably more of a cross between an iPod Touch and an iPad.
Oh, God, you're not making it any better.
No.
Ugh.
It can't be made better.
Anyway, Sam, say goodbye to the nice people.
Goodbye to the nice people.
Warning, error code 8 in progress. Warning, error code 8 in progress.
System error.
Not to cut in, but listen to the end of this one.
Danger.
System error.
Error code 8 subsided.
Nice.
Yeah, see, you told me to change it, I changed it. Now we're not convincing all the time.
Right. Infinite loop.
Ah, like a space sphincter.